Brilliant. Well, this is the final kind of message of this mini-series that we've put together called Biblical Principles for Financial Blessing. And I shared last Sunday morning that the older I get, the more I read the Bible, the more convinced I am is that God wants to financially bless us. We said from the very beginning that this series isn't talking about how to earn the money morally or how to spend it properly. It's not talking about why not everybody's financially blessed. We're not trying to answer this question. What we're trying to say is this. It's that in general, the people of God are called to be blessed. God has a heart to bless us. And God wants us to be blessed for one simple reason. We are his children, and he wants the world to see that the children of God are blessed. Jesus said, doesn't he, in John 10:10, I want to give you life and life in all its fullness or abundance. I don't know about you if you're struggling to think where the next meal's coming from or where the rent's coming from or where something's coming from. It's really hard to live an abundant life. It really is, because all you think about, well, I just need to get the next step so I can do this, I can look after my children, whatever it is. And so for that reason alone, it would be enough to say that God wants you to be financially blessed so you can live that full life that Jesus came and died for so that you may enter into it. But more than that, God wants us as a people of God to represent him to the world. And the first people of God, the Israelites, were called to follow God. And as they followed him, God was going to bless them so much so that all the nations around them would go, man, your God must be awesome. Look how you are. Look how blessed you are financially. Look how your crops are going well and your livestock are going well. In Deuteronomy 28, Moses says, this is what God says. So Deuteronomy 28, verse 9. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on earth. That's the same promise that we have today through the new covenant, through what Jesus said. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways, then all the peoples on earth will see that you're called by the name of the Lord. I'm going to do this so that my name is made famous and honored across the entire world. We'll see that called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, in the young of your livestock, and the crops of your ground, in the land he swore to your forefathers to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouses of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season, to bless all the work of your hand. You will lend to many nations, but you will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head, not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God, that I will give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be on the top and never on the bottom. That was the promise to the people of God in the Old Testament days. And we're still the people of God. And this promise still stands in the new covenant. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about the glory of God. And in the end, God is interested in his name being glorified. It's been an honor so that the world can come and find him and find salvation, find their peace with God. Now, we've picked four principles. Obviously, there's a lot more principles in the Bible than we've picked. But I think these four principles, if you listen to them and apply them to your life, will give you the opportunity to walk into that blessing, walk into the financial blessing that God wants to give you. And so if you've missed one of the messages, can I encourage you to go on the website and download the podcast, do an MP4, MP3, or whatever you guys do in your, because I'm not very good at that kind of stuff, so that you may listen to the messages. We started talking about the first principle, that believing that making money and having it is a good and moral thing to do. And I talked about the fact that the world today almost seems to look down on people who've made it wealthy. Who almost like they must have done something wrong to get that. But that's not a biblical concept. The biblical concept is that God blesses those with riches. And if God's favor is shown by somebody being wealthy, then that must be a good and moral thing to do. Otherwise, God isn't a good and moral God. Do you follow that? And we're called as New Testament Christians to honor everybody. And we as Christians need to change, some of us anyway, need to change the way we think and say, actually, creating and holding wealth is a good and moral thing to do. And those that have it, they're good and moral people. Now, I know there's bad people who are rich, but there's also bad people who are poor. You know, there's a whole thing. But we're called, and perhaps you need to listen to that message and go, hold on a minute, I need to change the way I think about creating and having wealth. The second message which Rick gave was this principle, that knowing that God longs for your heart before your wallet. God longs for your heart before your wallet. And the reason for this is simple. God knows that our first need in our lives is not money, it's his love. And if we can access his love by us loving him, then actually the majority of our life is sorted, both now and for all eternity. And once our love for him and his love for us is sorted, the wallet bit will all make sense and be put in its proper place, in its proper healthy place for our living. And we talked about our finance. Actually, if they take precedence over our love for God, become what the Bible calls an idol, or the God that we really serve. And that's why we have offering talks every week, in case you hadn't quite realized that. We have an offering talk every week. Why? Because in the world that we live, money is the modern God. We are called over and over again to make and hoard money as if it was the chief thing that we do in our lives, knowing that God longs for your heart before your wallet. And then Katie this morning, if you weren't here this morning, you have to get hold of Katie's message. I'm serious. It was the best message on generosity that I've ever heard. It was awesome. And she talked about how that generosity unlocks blessing. Generosity unlocks blessing. It helps us truly reflect God's character. I become like God if you think of all the generosity that God has shown us in the world he made and sending his son Jesus. She also talked about the fact that when we sow generosity into other people's lives, it actually grows us. And she unpacked that wonderfully. And then she talked about when we're generous to others, particularly to the house of God, then God pours his blessing into our lives. Proverbs 11:25 says, "A generous man will prosper, and he who refreshes others will be refreshed." There is, as we're generous, and God pours his generosity into our lives. Tonight, I want to have a look at the fourth one. Can I suggest this one is the one that helps you put into practice the first three that you've heard about? But before we get into it, I want to pray, and then we'll get into it. Father, I want to thank you that you, as our Heavenly Father, want us to succeed in life. You sent your son Jesus to die on the cross to remove our sins as far as the east is from the west, to remove our wrongdoings, to remove our rebellion from you as far as the east is from the west, so that we may be, as it were, cleaned up, made holy in your sight, so that we could have a relationship with you. But Father, much more than that, Jesus came that we may access you and all the resources of heaven, both for ourselves, because we're your children, but also to let the world know of who you are and your generous spirit. And Father, I pray tonight, as we think about finance and real practical stuff tonight, God, that help me to give the words to speak. Father, I pray you'd open up hearts that people may hear what they need to hear so they can put those things into practice to walk into all the blessings that I believe that you have for each one of us in this room. In Jesus' name. Amen. So number four, for you guys taking notes, is this. The wise plan to make money over the long term. The wise plan to make money over the long term. The fourth principle from Scripture. If you think about it, principle one helps you understand that you want more money. Yeah? Principle two sort of helps you understand the reason for making more money. Principle three sort of suggests what you're supposed to do with your money. And you kind of need a principle to say, well, how do I make the money? What do I need to do to make the money? And that is this principle. The wise plan to make money over the long term. And I want to give you three hows. Is that right? Three hows. So if you're taking notes, I'm going to give you three hows. Proverbs 21 verse 17 says this. He who loves pleasure will become poor. Whoever loves wine and oil will never be rich. The first how is this. The wise realize that a sacrifice of the pleasure today will reap a bountiful harvest in the future. The wise realize that a sacrifice of pleasure today will reap a bountiful harvest in the future. And I think this is key for so many of us. I don't know about you. I was talking to my parents, or my parents and mum's there. I was talking to my parents on one night this week when Michelle wasn't in. And we were talking about the present generation and how we spend our money. And she was talking about, well, you know, back in the 50s, it was really hard doing. She was talking about, like, they had rations, had rations, and it was tough. And how the modern generation want everything now. And it's kind of true. Our generation want everything now, don't we? We want the nice holiday, the nice car, the nice house. We want nice clothes, the nice food, the takeaway food. We want kind of everything now. But Scripture says, and common sense actually says, that if we spend everything we have today, we won't have it for tomorrow to spend. I mean, it's kind of logical, and you know that, yes? But it's much, much harder to live it. But the Bible says that the wise realize that a sacrifice of pleasure today will reap a bountiful harvest tomorrow. He who loves pleasure will become poor, and whoever loves wine and oil will never become rich. So it means each one of us need to think about what we're spending today so that we have some left for tomorrow. And I always want to challenge you. Do you spend all you have every month, or do you have some left over? Perhaps you need to begin to think about having some left over. Do you buy stuff that you really can't afford? I know it's nice, but can you really afford it? Or are you kind of borrowing a bit from next month's paycheck to make it happen? Most of you have done that at some point, but that's not wise. It's not wise. One of the saddest things that Michelle and I have seen over the years is this, that people have bought big ticket items which they could never afford. A car or particular houses. Houses can be totally crippling in people's finances. I.e., they think, well, what can I afford? And then they go to the nth of what they can afford, which means for the rest of their lives, or the next 25 years, they have to keep on working really, really hard just to pay the mortgage. And they kind of sacrifice their future for this house. And everything they might wanted to do, or God might have called them to do, they can't do, because both of them have to work to just actually pay the bank, which makes lots of money, out of the person that's bought the house that was too big for them. And the bank says, The Bible says, think carefully and make sure that you can afford what you're spending today, and there's some left over. If all you do is spend money on pleasures today, you will not reap that bountiful harvest in the future. But it's not just about money, it's also about time, about our use of time. Again, anybody else like their holidays? I like the holidays. I like my leisure time. But the Bible says, work hard. It says, work hard, that you may in the future reap the benefits of working hard. Proverbs 14:23 says this, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. I'll read that again. It's just a real cool proverb. It's so true, isn't it? All hard work brings a profit. Note, profit being a good thing. Just profit's a good thing. But mere talk leads only to poverty. Proverbs 24, another one of my favorite little proverbs. Proverbs 24, verse 30 says this. I went past the field of a sluggard, past the vineyard of a man who lacks judgment. Thorns had come up everywhere, the ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall was in ruins. I applied my heart to what I observed and learned a lesson from what I saw. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit, and scarcity like an armed man. The Bible says that God will bless you, but we have to work hard as well, and then use the resource that hard work and God's blessing gives us sensibly to think through our future. Is this practical enough? This is how you make money and become financially secure according to the Bible. Now, 1 in 10 of you, I made that figure up, I have no idea. But 1 in 10 of you will work a little bit too hard. And as you all know, Proverbs is a very wise and balanced book. Proverbs 23 verse 4 says this, for you guys who attempt to work a little bit hard. Do not wear yourself out to get riches. Have the wisdom to show restraint. So there is a balance to this hard work. But I suggest most of you are on the not working hard enough balance rather than the working too hard balance. I don't know you all, so I can say that with safety, but for my general, most people are on that side rather than the others. Is that okay? Excellent. Right, so the second how to the wise plan to make money over the long term. Proverbs 21 verse 5 says this, the plans of the diligent lead to profit as surely as haste leads to poverty. Second how to is this, the wise realize the budgeting and financial planning, exciting stuff, isn't it? Budgeting and financial planning, i.e. long-term thinking, are scriptural and therefore good concepts. The wise ways that budgeting and financial planning are scriptural concepts. Can I ask you a question? Have you got a budget and a plan for your finances over the next 4 or 5 years? I don't need to ask you because most of you haven't. One or two of you who are kind of keen or that kind of way will. But actually, the Bible says that we should be planning our financial future. It's not going to happen by accident. It only happens by careful planning. Psalm 14 verse 15 says this: a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. Proverbs 14, 15, a simple man believes anything, but a prudent man gives thoughts to his steps. Even Jesus weighs in to how foolish some people are in their lives. Luke 14, verse 28, Jesus says this: suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundations and is not able to finish it, everyone will see it, will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. He's an idiot. I added that last sentence. But it's kind of, Jesus says, Proverbs say, the Bible says, financial planning will help you realize all that God has for you in your life. It just will. So I want to encourage you, if you haven't done yet, to go home and sit down and think about your money situation. For most of you here, you're fairly young. I want you to sit down and think, how am I going to earn money in the future? What is my plan, my career plan, so that I can increase my earning potential? Because earning is good and moral, right? How am I going to increase my earning potential over the years to come? What kind of training might I need? What kind of contacts might I get? Where can I go to build my resources up so that I can earn more money? What am I going to invest in? Because if you've not spent up to your limit, you'll have some to invest in something. What I'm going to invest in, which will help increase my wealth and finances in the future. Because the Bible says that God wants you to enter into that place. How am I going to earn? How am I going to invest into it? I like Proverbs 24, verse 27. I think of it because I'm a farmer, but it's a really cool thought. It says this. Proverbs 24, 27 says this. Finish your outdoor work and get your fields ready. After that, build your house. And the point is this. All of us want to build our house, right? We want a nice house, want a nice future, want that. And the Bible says, Proverbs says, well, make sure that your earning potential is there to build it. So the first thing you should be thinking about, well, is what do I need to invest in my field, in my career, in my job? I need to prepare that first. I need to finish that first. And then, after that, I will reap the reward. Does this make sense? Are you excited? Because I know you all want to make more money, so you should be fairly excited about this particular subject. And the second thing that... So the wise ways that budget financial planning are scriptural. And the wise will learn about financial matters. The wise will learn about financial. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4, when I find it, says this. Proverbs 24, verses 3 to 4 says this. By wisdom a house is built, and through understanding it is established. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. Through knowledge its rooms are filled with rare and beautiful treasures. All of us as Christians should be financially, at least the basic line, savvy. Do you know what interest rates are? Do you know how interest works? If you're not sure, you need to go and talk to Jason, which I'll come into a second. But all of you, I want to encourage you to think about finances and different ways of making money. Why? Because the Bible says that's wisdom. And we want to be wise Christians. Yeah? We need to gain knowledge. We need to understand how our business works or how our industry works financially, so that we can make wise decisions. If we're going to invest on something, they call it due diligence. It's about making sure you've thought through all the different ins and outs of anything you're investing in so you don't get caught out down the track. Information and knowledge is key, the Bible says, for making good financial decisions. So if you're sat here or you're listening to this on a podcast, I want to encourage you, if you know nothing about the financial world, is to actually, in the next season of your life, to put some time aside to figure it out so you understand how it works. Not because I'm telling you, because the Bible says that's the way a wise man or wise woman lives. And obviously, as the wise realize that budgeting and financial planning are scriptural concepts, they will go and get some help. Go and get some help. So they go and find people who know more than do. Proverbs 15:22, many of you'll know, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. They succeed. Go and get some help if you don't know how to do it. It's why we run the CAP course. It's why, wait, can Jason Street stand up and just wave at everybody? He's in the middle, so it kind of works. If you need some help financially, go and find Jason. He might not help you personally, but he'll point you in the right direction. This church is committed to each one of you being financially savvy and financially well organized, so that God can bless your finances, both for your future and for the glory of his name. We really are. And that's why I do CAP. But more than that, that's why we want to help you in whatever career you're in, or if you're in a business, we are committed to helping you succeed. Why? Because we believe that's what the godly do. That's what the Christians do. And we want to help you do that. I've written in my notes this. Brits are rubbish at talking about finance. Oh, we're terrible. See, I know if I come to most of you in this room and say, so tell me, how much do you earn? I know some of you younger ones are going, nothing, so you're out of this. But for the rest of you, how much do you earn? Most of you go like, it's none of your darn business. And I say, well, how much would you like to earn? And you'll probably go, a lot more than what I'm earning now. Would be nice. And that's where the conversation ends. Can I suggest that with trusted people, we drop the British kind of I can't to talk about money thing and actually say, hey, this is where I am. Be open and honest with somebody you trust. This is where I'd like to get to. I really need some help to get from here to there. You know, this is my career. This is my skills. These are my things. Have you got any suggestions of how to help me from there? That is both godly wisdom and allowing the Holy Spirit to use the gifts of the person you're talking to, as well as your gifts, to enter into everything that God has for you. Is that okay? I know this is real practical, but I didn't know how else to do it. I just want you to be taught so that you can go out into the world and actually become the people that God wants you to be, both for yourself and for his glory. The third kind of how is this. The wise realize that honoring God and his cause allows God to pour even more blessing into our lives. Proverbs 16:3 says this. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Commit to the Lord. Everything you do, say, God, this is yours. I'm going to commit it to you for whatever you want. This is yours. My future, my wages, my everything, I want to commit to you. And as you do that, that opens the door for God to help your plans succeed. Does that make sense? You see, it's really easy to say, God, I want to give this project to you so I can make lots of money for myself. Or I commit my career path to you so I can make lots of money. That's not what this scripture means. It means commit that to him so he can use it. And as you do that, his blessing can flow into your life and also through your life into other people. Jesus, again, weighs into this with another story in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 is about a rich man who does very, very well. Luke 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" And then he said, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns because I'm rich. And I will build bigger ones, even bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and all my goods. I'm going to store it all up for me. Everything's for me. It's going to be for me." And I'm going to be. And then I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. Then God said to him, you fool, you idiot. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? And then Jesus makes a comment, which is actually quite unusual for those of you who know the Bible. It's very unusual that Jesus directly comments immediately after he does on this one. He says this. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. You see, there's a point and a purpose for God blessing us. Part of it is to bless us. Honestly, it really is. God loves you. God wants to bless you. But the greater purpose is so that we can tell the world and show the world that we're a blessed person because we know him. And we're using the resources that he's given us that are, in one sense, his anyway, both to build his kingdom, i.e. make his name famous, give him glory, which is the same thing, and to help those in need around about for some reason can't manage to make enough themselves. And God is passionate about blessing you, but also passionate about you understanding that blessing comes through doing certain things, which include honoring who he is. Malachi 3, God speaks to the Israelites through the prophet Malachi and says, look, you're not giving everything you shut into the house of God. And the house of God is a wreck. It's a ruin. It's an embarrassment. The house of God being the church in those days. But the house, but this was a physical house. It was a wreck. He says, it's a disgrace. And then God goes, how can I bless you when you're not honoring me and pouring your abundant possessions into my house? And he says, if only you will do it. If only you will do it. He says, you watch, I will pour my blessing into your life. He says, test me in this, says the Lord, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have enough room for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be the delightful land, says the Lord Almighty, only if you honor me and make sure that you are building my name and my kingdom up. Church, each one of you, God loves you. That's why Jesus died for you. He loves you so much. He loves you more than I could ever describe or more than you could ever realize. And like any good heavenly father, he wants to do you good. He doesn't want to spoil you because spoiling is not good, but he wants to do you good. And I want to say, church, that if each one of us can say to God, look, I will honor you first in all that I do and all that I am, in all that you give me, I will honor you first. Then God will pour his abundant provision into your life. You'll get to enjoy it because we just do. And God doesn't mind because he's a God who loves us and wants to bless us. But this wealth, this money that God gives us, as we say, actually it's not for me, sure I get to enjoy it, but actually I'm going to pour this into building the kingdom of God. I'm going to pour this into people who need it. I'm going to pour it into Vision Rescue. I'm going to have 10 compassion kits. I'm going to go like OTT. I'm just going to pour. And as you do this, God will pour more and more wealth into your hands. Why? Because he trusts you with it. He trusts you with it. You see, God longs to bless you. And in conclusion, I just want to say this. Part of it is down to us. In the way we think and what we do. Most of it is up to God's generosity and grace. But a little bit of it is down to us. Only a little bit. And the bit we need to do is real simple. Honor God, work a bit harder, get some help. And the rest, God will then usher in into your lives and through you into the lives of the people you love. And through it, people go like, I want a bit of you. Whatever is over your life, tell me what it is. And we will honor God. And people will say, I want to follow Jesus, not because of your words, but just because they see something special and blessed in your life. You know, my prayer is for each one of us that we will believe that a blessing is our future, that we will believe that as we work hard and are righteous, that God will not might do or could do, but he will fulfill an abundant provision in our life to do all that he has called to do. Proverbs 10 verse 22 says this: the blessing of the Lord brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. Church, I pray that the blessing of the Lord will be yours, and he will add no trouble to it, but you'll be a blessed people so that we can honor him and enjoy the blessings as we go along.